So if I could just move on to the gifts of the Spirit, and I'd like to speak about the different gifts, but also then ask you to identify the gifts that you have, that you're aware of what you have. I think that's a good place. God normally starts where we're at, and so that we become free in the gifts of God that we do have, and that, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to use you. And as you open your heart to the gifts being used in your life, you find that the voice and the gifts often, you know, work together tandemly in the things of God. Amen. So I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6 onwards. And then I'll speak about the Romans 12 gifts in Romans 12 with the gifts given by the Father. So sometimes folks don't realize that the Godhead gave gifts. The Holy Spirit gave gifts, 1 Corinthians 12. The Father gave gifts in Romans 12, 6 onwards. And then Jesus gave gifts to the church in Ephesians 4, 11. And, you know, when you combine all those gifts, we can see that we are very gifted people in God. Amen? And God wants to grow us in those gifts and use them to the glory of His name. So let's just go through that and just talk a little bit around that so that you know where we're going on this. I'll just give you a couple of thoughts before I go to the gifts. I've got a definition for the gifts of God, the gifts of the Spirit. Spiritual gifts are supernatural abilities distributed by the Holy Spirit to every believer according to God's design and grace for the common good of the body of Christ. Isn't that powerful? And then Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts or spiritual matters, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant," or the word ignorant is uninformed. So we want to be informed about what God has already given us. Amen? These are spiritual abilities, divine endowments, given for a unique contribution that we all should make. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. You have a unique contribution to the body of Christ, to the church. And that to me is very, very powerful because, you know, the hand can't do what the foot can do, the eye can't do what the ear can do, and so on. And God wants us to understand the uniqueness of how He's created us. And if you understand that, you are better equipped to work with God. Amen. Because we are co-laborers with God. We work with Him because He knows what He wants for His church. Amen. So there are different, there's proof that there are different measures of grace. For whom God has sent speaks the words of God, for God does not give the Spirit by measure. John 3:34. So there's... each one of us have a measure. It comes from that Greek word called metron, is where the meter measurement came from. God has given you a measure of gifting, and He wants to increase the measure in your life and my life as we walk with Him. So your measure doesn't remain uniquely small. It grows in the confidence and the faith in Jesus Christ. So the Lord is working on us to increase that. Every believer has at least one spiritual gift, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, Ephesians 4, verse 7. So there's a measure of Christ's gift in your life. Amen. Every believer is a minister. Very important, get that in your heart. Every one of you are a minister. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. The manifold grace of God. And we should be good stewards of what God has given us. That means we honor God in our gifting. Our gifts allow us to serve one another better. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Isn't that lovely? We want to profit each other in God. Each believer has a unique role to play. God has designed us and carefully selected each believer with spiritual gifts and placed them in the body of Christ for a service to Him and to one another. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, that He gives them to each one just as He determines. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11. He determines these things. Not us, He does. But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18. God wanted to do things His way, and we should learn to work with that. Amen. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you. 1 Timothy 4, 14. You and I should not be negligent with the gifts and the function of what God has got for us. The operation of the gift. Remember, the gift operates out of the fruit of love. I can't say that enough. If you love one another, you will believe the best for your brothers and sisters. Often I'm moved by compassion. I look at people, I feel that the incredible love of God rise up in me, and I know this is God speaking to that person because of just the love that He has for their lives. And you learn to be sensitive with that fruit, because it's the first fruit of the Spirit, love. All the others join on: love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, self-control. But it starts with love. Love is motivated by your, you know, heart for people. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So often, if you're ministering, minister out of a place of peace. The peace of God gives you reassurance that God is with you. You know, when Peter had that revelation about Jesus, a little while later, when Jesus said He was going to go to the cross, Peter said, "No, you're not." What did Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." You know, Peter must have thought, "Wow, I had a revelation, but what was that?" You know, you know, it wasn't coming out of his heart for what God's purposes were. That we always look for that. Amen. So let's just talk a little bit. You know, Ephesians 4:16, I want to say this to you: "From whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Yeah, very powerful scripture that. You know, Ephesians 4:16. "The effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Isn't that amazing? If we can achieve that, we'll be heading in the right direction as the body. And I'll share this scripture with you too, because I believe largely from what I see as I travel around, we see this in Ephesians 4, verse 13. It speaks about us coming into unity of the Spirit. And you know, I believe it's very, very important. It says, "Until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." God wants us to grow up into the full stature of Jesus, look like Jesus, operate like Jesus. But I don't know if you noticed that it says perfect man. It doesn't say perfect woman. Have you ever wondered why? I'll give you some help here. Maybe the women are perfect already and the men are trying to catch up. Anyway, well, I think that is a good revelation. So it says in Scripture, "Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge." One of the important things to remember about Scripture, about prophecy, the word judge, if you look at the Greek word around that, is to discern. You know, check it out. Make sure that this lines up with God, how God has spoken to you in the past. Does this line up with the words that you've received previously, and they link together? Is God talking about a now thing, a future thing in your life? Is God talking about some teaching and correction in your life? Does God, you know, submit those words to your leadership? Pray into them. Don't leave them on the shelf. That maybe one day I'll take them down and consider them. Pray into them and ask God to reveal more. The first interpretation is not the only interpretation to the word. Amen? God wants to interpret many things to us, and often as we dwell on the word and we think about it, pray about it, look at God, He then gives us a greater picture as to what he's saying to us. So I've learned that, you know, we judge these things based according to the Word of God. Does it line up with God's Word? Is it a confirmation of what God has been saying to me previously? Often God confirms something in our lives through two or three witnesses, but sometimes it can be a first word. Have you heard this? And then we've got to say, wow, you know, this, I haven't understood this about what God's saying to me. Where is this taking me to? What does it mean to my life? What adjustments does God want me to make to get there? Is this God for me? You know, we've got to be open to, answer those questions. That's why when the church receives a word for the corporate body and somebody stands up and comes forward and prophesies to the church, the elders and the senior pastor have the responsibility to judge the word to see if it brings edification, exhortation, and comfort to the body so that the body is being strengthened and encouraged to go onwards, upwards in God. It should meet that criteria. So it's important that you and I know that about prophecy. It also says this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 31. For you all can prophesy one by one. That means you all. That includes you, every one of you. That all may learn and all may be encouraged. So often prophecy will teach us something because we want to learn. And God does that. He teaches us things about His will and His purpose through genuine prophecy. It says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 32. That also means that as a minister, I'm accountable to Reverend Mark because I'm in his church and I'm with his people. If I'm in another church or in another place, I'm accountable to the leaders there for what I say. And you and I are accountable to one another for what we say. So there's an accountability that is very important in the prophetic. And I think that goes awry when we're not accountable for what we say. Amen. Just to clarify that. So I'm going to just quickly cover something about the three areas of gifting so that you understand this. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 5 speaks about to serve. And that really speaks about the Romans 12, 6 to 12 gifts that the Father gave. And I'm just going to cover those so that you understand clearly what I'm talking about. I normally know those, but sometimes when I'm in a hurry, I skip them out and I don't always say them as I should. Essentially, the Romans 12 gifts, or they're called to serve gifts, or they're called administration gifts. You and I are called to serve the body of Christ through these gifts. And the first gift that's given is prophecy, to speak forth with insight and revelation. The second one is ministry, those who are called to render loving general service in their ministry. Number three, teaching, the supernatural ability to explain and apply the truth of God's word. Number three, teaching. Number four, exhortation. It means the purpose of making an appeal to exhort you to get up and give it a go. There's an exhortation in that. Acts 4:36, Hebrews 10:25 are some examples. And then giving. How do you know the gift of giving? How do you know you're a giver? You just give. Not a hard one, but often people say, well, how do I know that I'm a giver? I say, well, if God keeps speaking to you about giving of your time and your resources and your money, and you know, you've got that gift of giving. And if you, Linda and I have experienced some amazing people in our ministry as we stepped out when I was working full-time and the Lord said, leave your job and go and minister. Linda, being an accountant, said, well, what are we going to live on? Good question. You know, where's this money going to come from? And the Lord had to teach us some lessons that the currency of heaven is not dollars and cents. The currency of heaven is faith. Faith in Almighty God to provide. And we've walked 11 years of itinerant, and we've met some amazing givers. And you know, the word talks about, God says, I will use the whosoever to bless you, to help you, when he told the disciples to go out, you know, into the highways and the byways. We've experienced the whosoever. People will come along and say, oh, you know, God said to me, we need to give you some money for what you do. I say, wow, thank you. In the beginning, it was hard to receive. You know, God, this is hard. How do I receive you humbling me? And I've learned to walk in humility because God uses the whosoever to put money in our letterbox. I said to my friends the other day, I've got the most anointed letterbox in our neighborhood. When I go there and I open it up, there's not just post in there, there's all sorts of things in there. And it's God. So it's interesting. Leadership is the next one, number six. That's standing in the front. God raises up leaders through the Father's gift. Beautiful. I believe that God is raising up some mighty leaders today. Champions for the name of Jesus. And then number seven, mercy. Those who have sympathy and empathy for misery and those in hard places, it's a beautiful gift of mercy. So those are the gifts given by the Father. Try and identify where you fit there. And number two, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 6, the operations, the energema. The word operation talks about energema, to be mighty in. The Ephesians 4:11 gifts, the fivefold gifts given by Jesus to the church to build the church in verse 12 speaks about the equipping of the saints for the works of the ministry. The fivefold responsibility is to equip the saints so they can get on and do the ministry. Amen. And the fivefold, I'm going to use this, use my hand as an illustration. The apostle is the thumb because he touches the other four ministries. And the apostle really is one that, you know, is a govern. I'll use five G's. He's he's got a governance role in the church. He helps to govern where we're going and to keep things in order. Now, the second finger, the pointing finger, is the prophet. He's used to guide people and to know the blueprint of what God wants. He gets vision and revelation, and he says, this is the way, now walk in it. That's why it says, if you welcome a prophet in the name of a prophet, you will receive a prophet's reward. What does that mean? It means that the prophet walks in revelation and insight, and if you welcome him in, what he does is impart prophetic revelation and insight into the life of the body. So that's why it's called the pointing finger. And then the long finger, the index finger, is the evangelist. He gathers people into the kingdom of God. He's a gatherer of lost souls, and he's always out there. That's why it's the longest finger. He's kind of out there, you know, in the world, finding the lost and bringing them in. And often the evangelist kind of runs into places that none of us would want to go in. And then the ring finger is the pastor, the shepherd. And it's a very important ministry. This speaks about the ring finger. The ring speaks about the everlasting love of God. God's love is everlasting. That's why it's a ring. There's no beginning and no end to the love of God for us. And it speaks about guarding. The main function of the shepherd is to guard the sheep. Amen. So the wolves can't get to the sheep. And it's such a key role. It's the only finger where there's a nerve that runs from there all the way through the arm, all the way into the heart. Interesting aspect of that. And then the little finger is the teacher. He kind of teaches people to grow in the knowledge of God. And I'm just thinking the G there. He would just give us, you know, general knowledge of the Word of God. He will speak the Word of God in a very powerful way, and he'll teach us something. That's why the little finger, he'll get into your ear, and he will teach you something about God and his Word. So the teacher is a key role. It normally works with a pastor and teacher. Often you find those two gifts work together for the body of Christ to grow us in knowledge of God. Amen. Grounding, that's the word I was looking for. He grounds us in the Word of God, the teacher. So that's the fivefold that Jesus came to give the church to help us, grow us. And then 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7, I'm going to speak to you about the manifestation or the phanerosis an expression of the Holy Spirit, is what it's called. That word expression, the manifestation of the Spirit, is the nine gifts that the Holy Spirit came and gave the church. I think they're the most powerful and wonderful gifts that God gave us. They cause a freedom in us and a wonderful sense of God's purpose in our lives. And I love that, to see the gifts operating in the body of Christ. And when I came out of a Catholic background, not knowing any of this, and suddenly I started seeing the manifestation of the Spirit of God working in the body of Christ, I was awestruck by how God could use individuals to fulfill the purpose that He had for their lives and for the ministry that He's called the church. And I believe the church would be a lot further down the road as a mighty army if we had released this in a greater way. And I always, say well done to the churches that are doing it. I say well done to Oak Tree for championing something that is going to cause others to move powerfully in the things of God. Amen. I really believe it's such an important time to do this. So let's just talk about those gifts. The nine gifts and the nine fruits I mentioned to you should be in balance. You know, we find sometimes that prophetic people can be out of balance because they don't have the character. God's building our as well as He's building our gifts. Amen? And your gift will not, rise any further than your character will. Let me say that to you. Very important. So God works on the inner man, so that we become more like Jesus all the time. And there's no truer saying that you go through a time of testing and trial and tribulation to where you grow in the things of God, because God wants us to be worthy vessels to carry His goodness, kindness, and His gifting. Amen. So let's be open to this in God. So I'm going to divide this into three groups so that you get a picture. There's three groups of three, okay? And the first three that I'm going to talk about are the gifts or the knowledge gifts, the revelation gifts, the insight gifts that work in our lives. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And I said the word of wisdom. If you look at the Scripture, it speaks about wisdom first. Isn't that interesting? And I really believe God wants to give us wisdom. And my prayer is that we will be wise people, that God will release wisdom out of us so that we know what to do with what God reveals to us. We can have a lot of knowledge, but we lack wisdom on how to use the knowledge that God gives us. And it's no good hurting people with your gift or revealing people's issues in the church. So that's why there's a framework around the prophetic. If people ask me to help them, and I see something that needs help, I will speak to them separately and not in a public arena, because that's not what we're supposed to do, is bring any condemnation on one another in a public arena. Is that okay? Very important that we honor people's dignity and that we work sensitively with the Holy Spirit, and we learn to love people, but we also deal with the issues that need to be dealt with. Amen. So word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits are the three revelation gifts. Now, I'd like you to try and identify which gift operates in your life there. The next three I'm going to talk about are the power gifts or the doing gifts. God uses the power of the Spirit to operate through us. Faith, healing, gift of healing, and the workings of miracles are the three power gifts given to us. And we are seeing a rise of healing. We're seeing a rise of miracles. Sometimes miracles can be a wonder. I wonder what God's doing. My goodness, do you see what God did there? And, it's just incredibly powerful when God does wonders. I love that. And I believe, the Western world, haven't seen many miracles as we do see in third world nations, but I believe God is awakening us to this. Amen. We're going to need it in times ahead. The three next gifts, the three that say something, vocal gifts or utterance gifts, as they are called, prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Now, often there's been a lot of pressure around the revealing of tongues and the interpretation of tongues, but I really believe it's a New Testament promise from God that we will speak with new tongues. It's the move of the Spirit on our lives, and I could have never been further from that when I came into my encounter with the Lord, and I started learning to speak in tongues. And I thought, wow, this is amazing, you know, that God can give me a supernatural language and to build me up, to encourage me. So to speak to those who aren't free in this area, and I don't say that with condemnation or criticism in any way, we all come into the things of God, but it's a desire that's there. And I want to encourage you to desire, you know, the freedom of the gifts in God. And, you know, speaking in tongues builds us up. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 verse 2 says, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to man, but to God, for he speaks mysteries in the Spirit. Now, that's a very powerful scripture. What the Lord is saying is that you build yourself up. You know, tongues of the 9 gifts, one gift is given for building ourselves up. It's a personal gift given by the Holy Spirit to build you up in the Lord. And it's in your prayer life. The only time it becomes a public ministry is when there's given in a corporate sense that then interpretation should follow. So if I come up and I speak to you in a tongue and it's a corporate meeting like this, there should be an interpretation. And the onus is on me to bring the interpretation, or believing that there's somebody else in the ministry here that can bring that interpretation. You know, so Paul speaks about that very strongly in 1 Corinthians 14 verse 5. He says, how will the body be edified if there's no interpretation? And then it's equal to prophecy. But I would prefer it that you prophesy, that we will all learn and grow and understand. So it's important that we understand the function of that. But to build yourself up, you know, to stay sharp in the Spirit, me encourage you to pray in your spiritual language. Very, very powerful. I do that on a regular basis. I believe in my prayer language. I believe in prayer in the natural, prayer in the Spirit, and I walk in that. And God has often given me amazing things that have come out of speaking in my spiritual language. When I was a young believer, the one Sunday I went forward to prophesy in the church, and it was a you know, sizable church, over 2,000 people. And before you could share your word, they would check you out. The elders would see if you, you know, they would, you know, ask you to share the word with them. They would say, okay, yeah, that sounds like the word for the Sunday. Yeah, that's okay. Wait, yeah. And they'd allow 3 or 4 people, or sometimes even 10 people. And they'd say, you prophesy, because those words are confirming what's going on in the service, and we'd like you to come and bring the word to the church. So there was a discerning of the word. And I think that's a good thing because it helps us grow. If you've got to walk in a church where there's a couple of thousand people and you've got to walk from the back to the front, and the pastor says, you know, you've had too much Weet-Bix for breakfast, it's a long way to walk back. So you make sure that you're prepared and you're ready to share the word. You come prepared, prayed up, seeking the face of God. And this day I said, you know, I've got a word, and then as I stepped forward, I felt I should speak in tongues. So I just really exercised my tongue language, and suddenly the presence of God was in the midst of us. It was a very unusual happening because the men on, you know, the worship team behind us, the men on the drums, the drummer just started playing quietly on the drums, and then the guitarist started picking up on that. There was no singing, but just the instruments all rose up. And we all started singing to the Lord, and the presence of God came in, that we fell on our faces in the midst of the church because the presence of God was so powerful. And it's one of the unique times that I've seen that gift really expressed into a corporate sense that brings us on our knees before the face of God. So, you know, be open. You know, I believe that the Spirit will not do anything that will bring, you know, a detriment to his body or to you or I. God is, you know, works very sensitively with us, and we've got to learn to work with that. Amen. And if you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit or feel that you're struggling in this area of speaking in your spiritual language, I'd love to be able to lay hands on you and pray for you and believe for a release in your life. You will walk in the power and the authority. We're speaking about that tomorrow on Sunday. Reverend Marks asked me to speak about the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit that was promised by Jesus in Luke 24 and in Acts 1, 4, and 5. You know, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send my Spirit to be with you and upon you. And it's the promise that the Father gave. Jesus also gave the same promise. And God wants the church to be in that place where we connect with Him, because our life is a spiritual walk with God. Amen. We are spiritually connected. The New Testament speaks about a spiritual life that we encounter with God, and we walk in that way. So we are essentially spiritual people. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says that we are spirit, soul, and body. So we should be led by the Spirit, then our emotions, or our soul realm, and then our body. Today we're led by the body, the soul, and then the Spirit comes along. But it's, we are Spirit-led. That means we're inspired by the revelation of God to us. We pray, we seek Him, He reveals His heart, we move forward. And then God gives us knowledge and wisdom on how to operate in the gifting that He's placed in our lives. So one of the things that I want to do over this afternoon sessions is to get you operating in the gifts. And I'm going to really work on two gifts, word of knowledge and wisdom. And I believe the two are very closely interlinked, that we have wisdom in the knowledge of God. And that the knowledge that God gives us is a bit of information, past, present, future, for somebody's life. And He wants us to be sensitive to receiving that, because we hear something, and often it comes in word form. It can come in an impression, a vision, a trance, a mirror vision, a vision that's in a dream, those sort of things that sometimes God reveals in a different way. And a lot of people understand that as pictures. So in the body of Christ, we have seers who see a lot more, and we've got, essentially in the Old Testament, I'll go back one step, they had prophets and they had seers. Nathan was a prophet, Gad was a seer in David's kingdom. And they worked with David in the kingdom. They were part of his, kingdom, and they would speak about things they saw and things that they prophesied. But some of the ministries that were, some were prophets and seers. They had the ability to see and to prophesy. So when David was in trouble about Bathsheba, Nathan came in and he told him a parable, and he started challenging David, and then David suddenly realized he was in trouble. And he repented and he realized he had sinned. So God uses different ministries. So if you are a seer that you see pictures, trust that in your life. Record the picture, understand the picture, and ask God to give you revelation on a picture, because a picture really paints 1,000 words. You can, live on a picture for a long time, because God reveals so much to you in that picture, and He wants you to trust that. A way of receiving from Him. The other one is impressions. An impression is something you feel on the inside, and you can have an impression that you sensing God, awakening in you to go and encourage somebody, to go and speak to their lives, to help them, to you understand, that the person's in trouble, and God wants you to release them and help them to find their way out of that trouble. You have that, it comes to you as an intuitive thing, a perception. That perception we were talking about earlier, you understand this is God, and God will give you a word, He'll give you wisdom, and He will give you sometimes discerning of spirits. What spirit is behind that particular operation that's going on in the church? And often when the wolves come in sheep's clothing in the church, the gift of discernment rises up and says, there's trouble there. The enemy has come with a plan. And we discern that, and then we help the church to break free from that, and we raise the alarm. Because what does the shepherd do? He raises the alarm and says, I'm going to look after my sheep. This wolf is not going to devour the sheep. Amen? But one of the things you need spiritual discernment to find out what the wolf is doing. How do you do that? Because the The wolf comes in, he dresses like a sheep, he smells like a sheep, he bleats like a sheep, but often the sheep, you know, are vulnerable. And so the wolf can't live on, you know, grass for long. The wolf's got to eat meat, and that's when he exposes himself. And you put up your hand and say, I know the plan of the enemy here. We're going to help keep the church safe, keep a family safe, keep an individual safe, because the gift of discernment is operating in the wider body. And I'd like to try and do a little exercise with that as we go on this today, so that we can learn to discern, discern character. Jesus discerned the character of Nathanael. He said, hey, there's a man without any guile. How did Jesus? He discerned the type of spirit that man was walking in, a man of integrity, a man of honesty and truthfulness. There he is. Jesus knew that about his life. So Nathanael was amazed. How did you know me? Jesus said, I saw you when you were still under the fig tree. He wasn't in physical sight, but Jesus saw something about his life that he was aware of what was going on. So when God is talking to you about somebody that needs help, that you're praying for a brother, for a sister, you suddenly get a revelation from God that they are in trouble in a certain area. They've been attacked in their health, or part of their health is under threat. God says, now I want you to pray healing into that. Command the enemy to come off. And what do? You agree with God, you pray into it, and the person finds relief and they come out of darkness. That's the gifts working together to bring restoration to the body of Christ. Amen. So we have a bit of stuff to do together, but I do want to encourage you today that you, if you haven't done any, you know, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, as individual, try and do something different and unique today. Why? Because as you step out and you do it, you're stepping out of the boat. And once you've gone out of the boat once before, it becomes easier. Each time you get out, you say, oh, I've done this before. I can do this now. I can get out and I can run now. You know. So when a child's growing up, you help them. You walk with them. They take a few steps and then they start walking on their own. And then they start running on their own. It's exactly the same for us. And we want to walk with you so you become confident in God's hand upon you in the area of gifting. Amen. It'll bring glory to God, and you will be incredibly humbled by the fact that God can use you. Amen. I find it's got nothing to do with self, nothing to do with pride. You know, God humbles us more than what we expect. God, you know, loves those that are humble in spirit. So I believe the gifts operate out of humility in our lives, and God wants that to be a prerequisite as a believer to have a humble spirit. Amen. So I'm going to just kick off because I know it's, I just want to make sure I don't run off to over the lunchtime time, because I know that we've got an hour or so for lunch. So we're finishing at 12:30, are we, Mark? Yeah, we are. Okay. I've got a few minutes just to let you think about something so that we can operate this in the afternoon. What I'm going to ask you is those that have, my first plan of action for the afternoon is to do a breakup in about three people's, a group of three, where you can hear from God and you can just encourage one another. If you've never done it before, I'm going to suggest to you today that you just bless the person and ask God for a word, just so that you can, you know, speak to one of the three in your group. So in other words, two of you will minister to one person, and you know, that person will receive from you, then you change, and then the next two to the next person, until you've all three had a turn at ministering to, having received a ministry. So it'll be a three sort of together, but one will receive and two will give. And then you change again, two, and so on. Just so that you go around around the little group, and you learn to hear and you learn to give. Amen? And then we're going to do something in the gifts of the Spirit. I'm going to talk a little bit about the word of knowledge, working with the word of wisdom, how that operates in our lives, so that it gives you confidence to take some steps, and we'll do a sort of a little exercise together so that you can operate in that way. Amen? Any questions around what I've covered so far this morning? Please feel free to ask anything or suggest anything. I'm really open to that. It's good to ask because sometimes it's impossible to cover everything, but you might have a question that you've been wrestling with for a while and you want some clarity on that.